Okay.
Basically. Welcome to Practical Rambling Fathers, Father Brian.
I'm Father Tay, and for today's episode, we're continuing with the key concepts from Building a Non-Anxious Life, written by Dr. John Delaney. And so, we're going to talk about mindfulness today. Now, I'm going to talk about the mindfulness that you see from yoga and self-help. This is an actual, real-life, practical mindfulness of how you react to certain situations. So the author has a beautiful example. He says, you know, he just got back from a speaking engagement tour. It's 5:30 in the morning. He's dressed and ready to go to the gym. So he sees his daughter appear out of nowhere, as little kids tend to do. And she's coloring in a corner of the kitchen or wherever she is. So he goes over to her. He says, "Oh, good morning, baby. I love you." And he kisses her on top of her forehead, right? That's a great sign of affection. Apparently not for her this morning. So she just becomes the beast. She interrupts him, starts flailing her arms, says, "I wish you never existed." Right? And then his wife tries to appease the situation by saying, "No, ma'am, in this house we treat each other with dignity and respect." And so his little daughter goes off on a rant saying, "All you ever say is I love you, and you're so brilliant, you're so beautiful, I've had enough with you, I can't live like this anymore." And so the author says, "Whoa, thank God." He's like, "Well, I went to grad school, but I never encountered something like this," and so he leaves the door. So that's kind of the example of mindfulness. And you some of you may be wondering, what does that have to do with anything about mindfulness? Mindfulness is the way that you look at a situation and the way that you react to the situation. For many of us, in this chapter, it talks about inner voices. Sometimes our inner voices are from our parents, from our grandparents, or previous people that we've knew. They could be positive and they could be negative, whatever it is. It's the way that we look at things. It's the way that we choose to react to things. It's the way that we understand things, either at top of the forest or like just below the forest, right? And so mindfulness, it's really helping you to understand what is happening underneath all of this, right? And so another example would be like, for example, this happens a lot to spouses, right? The wife's telling her husband, "Please, please do not throw your laundry on the floor, or do not throw your wet towels on the bathroom floor," right? And so the husband tries as hard as he can. He misses some days, so he gets yelled at. And then some days he's pretty good. But then miraculously, one day, his wife leaves a wet towel on the floor. And now he's enraged. He says, "You yell at me for the one time that I leave a wet towel. Look at you! You're doing it too," right? And so the author says, similar to the five-year-old, what are your options? A, you could totally flip out and yell at the five-year-old kid and say, "Fine, I will leave," right? Or you can look at the bigger picture and saying, "My life is not dictated by the temper tantrum of a five-year-old." It's true, right? They're not ruling my life, nor will I let this dictate my life. So the mindfulness, he says, like, for example, you can react totally differently. So in the case of the wet towel, the husband tries to be more kind by taking a deep breath and looking and saying, "You know, she never leaves a wet towel on the bathroom floor. So that means she has to be very busy or something dramatic happened that she has caused her to do this," right? So he takes it up, the wet towel, puts it away, and he says, "Maybe I'll try to think of a way to tell her that I support her, that I love her, that I'm trying to make her life a lot easier. She can reach out to me at any time." That's mindfulness. You look at the scenario, you assessed it, and whatever wasn't good, you're like, "I'm not doing that." And whatever was good, you say, "Okay, let's look deeper than just what appears to us when we first encounter."
Versus service level. Yeah. Like it's taking reality in check and then demanding evidence for the response of the situation.
Yep, that's the word to use, evidence. Because so often we're living in a world where we just react to things, right?
Yeah, we don't respond to things, we react to things is one of the dynamics he takes upon us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then the author mentions some cool key concepts too that I think will be super helpful for us to talk about. He said mindfulness is often linked to our feelings. And so before, like, we go on a rampage about anger or anything that's a pet peeve against us, we should ask ourselves, why am I feeling this way? Like, for example, the 5-year-old, right? He felt guilty. He's like, man, I must be the most terrible dad in the world. But after a while, he starts thinking about it. He's like, you know what? That's not right. My daughter's 5. She's tired. I'm tired. It's 5:30 in the morning, right? So this is a more realistic view of, like, what's going on. And so he didn't allow his feelings to overtake his ability to rationalize things through. Same with the wet towel. Instead of just looking at tit for tat, right? Yeah, she messed up. Now we can go at her and say, you messed up too. He's like, no, that's not helpful for anyone. I'm just going to carefully put it away and try to be more loving, right? So we don't let our emotions be the one that dictate our thinking. And second one, it's about meditation. Mindfulness and meditation go together. It's because in order for us to demand evidence, we need some time to quiet down, to think, and to see for what things are.
Yeah, so meditation is a gentle approach to reality. And then within meditation, we can bring that to prayer. And the prayer is a surrendering to the reality given to us by God. The mindfulness, between meditation and prayer, mindfulness is a slower and less aggressive approach to the reality we're facing. And this is a path to non-anxious life. So, yeah, want to make a plug here quickly for the Mindful Catholic, Finding God in the Moment, One Moment at a Time. It's by Dr. Gregory Botaro. I think I'm saying that right. Anyways, Botaro. And that's a great book too, talking about living in the present moment of being anxious and how to bring our anxiousness and how we bring a Catholic mindfulness, a Catholic perspective to our given situation of life. So make a shout out for that book called The Mindful Catholic. It's a great book also, talking about mindfulness. Anyways, back to this. Mindfulness is the practice of consciously stretching the gap between the stimulants, i.e. the thing that makes you mad, and the response, i.e. the punching a hole in the wall or walking away. Being mindful of your thoughts is about owning each thought as it enters your mind and being intentional about how or if you choose to respond. So, different examples of our life. We choose how we respond or how to respond. We also need to give credit to, but we also need a challenge. Because sometimes thoughts come into our minds and we're like, oh, I don't even know where that came from. So to be able to challenge all those and take note of those. And as St. Paul would say, to surrender all of our thoughts to the Lord, that He be rule over all of our lives. So even our self-talk, our crazy self-talk that we wouldn't let a 5-year-old listen to, that even be surrendered into the Lord. Two keys of being mindful are awareness and curiosity. Awareness is the intentional feeling of the positive or negative thing in our life and your body's automatic response. So it's the awareness of what's going on in us. And then mindful curiosity is the choice to seek understanding, calm, an inquiry of over judgment, reaction, and response. So be able to distance ourselves is mindful curiosity, to seek an understanding and a calm, an inquiry, judgment, versus just a reaction, that we actually respond and not react, that we would choose to choose to do not what our feelings dictate, but what our rationalities dictate, essentially. Luckily, we have a whole bunch of things, or a whole bunch of life scenarios that give us that dynamic to work on that. So, alright, what else do you got?
just a few things. Some things that you consider doing to help you become more aware of being mindful is to keep a thought journal, right? When the negative thought or telling thought zaps into that, stop and write it down. And then, once again, demand the evidence. With that voice, is it true? Why is it not true? And then commit to be mindful of thoughts and actions that contribute to you being less joyful, kind, and patient. And also consider, like, what things have you consumed that are negative, like music, videos, movies, and all that stuff, and even just toxic friendships or relationships that you might find yourself complaining sometimes. And also, you know, like, has that come into your speech? Are you really negative self-talk? Or do you speak negatively about others? Never keep secrets. Secrets get bound up in the body and become automated responses. So these are just some things that you could do. But also, you know, be mindful as to be really self-aware. So ask yourself a deeper question. What are some things that make me angry or upset? How do I respond to the anger, the emotions? What do I do is helpful or healthy? So these are just little things that you can do along the way to help you become more mindful, especially in prayer. Asking God, show me the truth, right? In another word, the author used demand evidence for these stories. Yeah, so thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah, I think some of the other things could be, the saints would always say, know thyself. So even asking the question, what are the typical 5 to 10 things that make me upset and angry? And how do I instantly respond to each of these occurrences? Is there a way of preemptively knowing that I'm going to respond angrily or upset about these things? And can I, with the Lord's grace, like, figure out that those things are, and then kind of not game plan, but to kind of invite the Lord into the imperfection of life, and that these things are going to happen. And so, okay, when they happen, give me the grace to respond in love and kindness in that. So, sweet. Well, thanks for listening to Practical Rambling Fathers. Next time, we'll talk about health and healing and belief, and then we'll be on to Lent, I guess.
Awesome. See you until next time.
Stay holy, my friends.